right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday, almost got ahead of myself, Tuesday edition of the Power Hour. We're talking with Terry in Washington.
Okay, well, let me just tell everybody, tomorrow, you do not want to miss the program tomorrow. Outstanding what we have learned. We're going to be talking about radiation sickness, yeah, in your own home. What could be making you so tired, having headaches, rashes, you name it. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on the Power Hour for 2 hours. We're going to have experts discussing radiation poisoning. You do not want to miss this program. I'm serious. Have your tapes ready because you're going to be sorry if you don't tape it. So, and we're going to tell you how to take care of it also. Let's go to Terry, go back to Terry in Washington. So Terry, you said that what you found in that picture, now you're saying you watch it on a big screen TV on satellite, and explain to the listeners what you saw again.
Yeah, I seen they were interviewing a guy that supposedly saw the airplane hit the flight standard. And then as they were interviewing him, they scanned down the pole. And they got to the base where the concrete base was, and there was the nuts all sitting along the concrete base, and it didn't look like the threads were stripped off at all.
You mean you could see that well?
Yes.
That's amazing. Oh, man,
but
if you only had a picture of that.
Well, I'd have a whole house full of tapes if I, you know, taped everything that comes over
no
the
kidding.
High speed.
Yeah,
but
I've
seen... They chop that off, see, in the newsrooms. They chop everything off that doesn't fit.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to go back and review some of the video footage. I have seen photographs. We discussed this issue yesterday about the lampposts tipping over, falling down, and the way that they're lying there is inconsistent, in my mind, with a plane coming through and clipping them or knocking them down with the wing or an engine or something like that. And we would have seen some damage to the upright portion. And as you're saying, it looks to me like they just fell down from the base. And I would like somebody to explain to me logically how that could possibly happen when you've got something hitting it at 530 miles per hour. That thing would have been cut, or it would have been bent or something. You
and
wouldn't
the bolts
see,
and nuts are laying
that's
right,
right
there.
It looks like they fell over and were dismantled, you know, broke off or were removed right at their joints. And that just wouldn't happen like that. Thank you so much, Terry. And if you could come up with a video of that.
Wow, he's a lot smarter than Ben Parton.
Now we got to go and review all those videos again. Let's go to Joe in Alabama. Thanks again, Terry. Good stuff. Joe in Alabama, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning to both of you.
Hi.
So your program, I discontinued my fellowship with the John Birch Society a good while ago because of their, not being too definite on a lot of items. They just don't get in there, and they just don't do enough. They talk a lot, but recently I don't like their talk either. So, and they're too expensive too.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, it seems to me that the policy that they've established with their membership is to give them basically a false impression that something is getting done. And I would again challenge any of the JBS members out there, please tell me if I'm wrong. I have to be corrected, but I can't think of one law that's either been defeated or passed through the lobbying efforts of the JBS. And basically they collect dues from their membership, and bless our heart, I would stand shoulder to shoulder with any one of the members of that, of the organization. But unfortunately, I believe that they're all being duped out of their money for their dues and their magazine, but when all they really do is get together monthly and they meet, they eat, they bleat, and they retreat. And then what happens? They go back and do it again the next month.
Alex Jones has brought a lot of this out about the John Birch Society, but nonetheless, can I say something else about a different subject?
Please. Sure.
Okay, you ever heard of seceding from the Union?
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you ever heard of seceding from the school system?
No.
We have a school in our area. It's called Daphne, Alabama. It's near Mobile, Alabama. And they are fixing to secede from the county school system.
Really?
Yeah, and they are investing around $16,000 to consider seceding from the county school system. And I thought this was great. When I read this, I said, y'all might want to know, because not only them, but in Gulf Shores and other area schools, and I thought maybe other schools in other areas across the United States might be doing the same thing. You just don't know about it. Because their parents are sick and tired of their kids and putting out all this money and no education.
Okay, well, that's a good concept. We got a break coming right up here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay
Thank
with
you.
Us.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight. The director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
This is Wendy Malik from Just Shoot Me, here to tell you about Pets 911, a free public service changing the way we care for pets in every community nationwide. Across the country, there are thousands of healthy, adoptable pets waiting for a loving home every day. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting 1-888-PETS-911.org, you will find the location of your closest adoption facility as well as tons of other information you need to know as a responsible pet owner. So when thinking adoption, think Pets 911.
Soon, the mark of the beast will be enforced. Those that receive it will receive the wrath of God. Prepare yourself. Find out who the beast is and how to avoid his mark with this free book offer. Call toll-free 888-211-1715 and receive the book, The Bible Says, for free. There is absolutely no obligation. No one will call you and your number will not be sold to telemarketers. We just want to make sure you know the truth. Get your free book, The Bible Says, by calling toll-free 888-211-1715. Again, that's 888-211-1715.
Pope John II is already being acclaimed a saint. During his 26 years, he's canonized 482 saints. The one saint that stands out in my mind is Saint Maria Faustina, a poor, uneducated Polish nun. Christ appeared to her over 100 times in the 1930s and instructed her to keep a diary of the message he wanted to give to the world. This message is nothing new, just a reminder of what the Church has always taught, that God is merciful and forgiving, excluding no one, and that we too must show mercy and forgiveness to our neighbor. Christ has asked us to honor his mercy. In return, Christ promises to take care of you. Christ will grant unimaginable favors to those that trust in his mercy. Trust Jesus. He will reveal his love in all aspects of your life. I've experienced the power of divine mercy and know the miracles that have taken place in my life. Christ will pour out his mercy and love to you in great abundance. I'm offering you a free booklet so that you too can learn more about divine mercy. Visit the website www.trustjesustoday.com and get your free booklet today. Be merciful in your actions, words, and prayers, and above all, trust in Jesus. For a free information booklet, visit www.trustjesustoday.com.
Everybody, this is Dave Von Kleist.
And Joyce Riley.
Now, we all know knowledge is power. Of course, that's why we call this
the Power Hour.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors of this radio station, the Sierra Group, certain eco-Nazis, and the Bureau of Land Management. I suppose there are some folks out there that are going to get their knickers in a knot or their, you know, feathers all ruffled or whatever the term that you want to use when you start talking about people's rights versus government intrusion. And it's a fact of life, folks. It's happening on all fronts simultaneously. We are surrounded, and unfortunately, the majority of Americans don't have the sense to pull the wagons into a circle at this point. And it's been going on for years, and it continues to go on. And sadly, it is indeed a war of attrition that it is most likely we will not be able to win, because we have neither the resources, and in many cases, we are lacking the resolve to do so. The reason I'm saying this is because just about 4 years ago, just a few months away from 4 years, yours truly made the trip up there to Klamath Falls, not once, but twice, to cover what was going on, the plight of the farmers and the ranchers whose water had been cut off by the federal, Bureau of Land Management, because they claimed that there were endangered species in the Klamath Lake, and their species were more important than the livelihoods, the farms, the businesses, and the lives of the farmers. And so the water was shut off, And then there was a rally. And the folks at, that had organized the rally, or key players of the rally, are with us today. Or at least I'm sure that Barbara is. Barbara Martin, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome back to the program. It's been quite a while since we've had you on.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Oh, it's the pleasure is all mine. I was going through
this.
This
lady's an American hero.
She really is.
No concept of what she's done.
She really is. Is Carmen with you also?
No, she's not.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the dynamic duo, and this little wisp of a woman is the very reason that Joy screams occasionally, "Guys, get the lace off your panties!"
That's
because
right.
Because this woman set the stage here, and I tell you what, very briefly, could you give thumbnail sketch as to who owns the head gates, or owned, past tense,
well,
the head gates?
Let's ask her to give the baseline of what happened. A lot of people
right.
don't remember Klamath Falls.
That's what I'm talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe Barbara can go over the beginning and just give us a little bit of a intro to it.
Well, it was just like Dave said, the Bureau of Reclamation and, well, the federal government actually decided that they were going to save a fish, which they were pulling the fish out of the water and killing them a couple years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And the lakes were full, and they decided that they were going to hold the water. So a few of us got together and decided that this could not be. That it, you know, we could not allow them to do this to us because we have to stand up for what we believe in is right. So we organized a little group together and decided that we were going to stand up for our rights. And the farmers own the head gates. Every farmer that farms here in the basin, their ancestors helped dig that ditch at one time. It all started with the farmers digging the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bureau came in and decided that they were going to take it over, and then they started paying the farmers to do that. And then it turned around, and then the farmers wound up paying for the federal government to take it over. So it is a long history story of the head gates. But in the end, it all sums up that the farmers own it. And the government, you know, they would not listen to reason, and we couldn't get our officials here to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We pleaded and did everything we possibly could to get them to help us, and they didn't. So we decided that we, as citizens, had to go about what we needed to do and take what was right, what was ours.
Well, you know, I remember when I had the pleasure of meeting you and Carmen and sitting down and discussing this with you, I remember, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because it is almost 4 years, that it was basically your research and your efforts that was the dynamo that moved this whole thing, because they were the powers that be were demanding that you prove what you were saying. You said, hey, this is our land, this is our head gate, this is our water. And you did the research. You work in a real estate office, and I guess you have access and the resources to be able to do that. What did you find when you researched the background of the ownership of this headgate?
Well, it was a lot harder than I thought, because I am in real estate, and I thought it would be really easy to go down and get records, but it didn't work that way. We wound up researching for probably over 30 days trying to find what we were looking for and couldn't find anything. And then this gentleman from Washington, D.C. came here and said, okay, let me help you, I'll show you. And he spent about 2 weeks with us. And we actually found documents that proved it was ours.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we made copies of these documents, and we started distributing them. We tried to explain to the farmers that we owned it. Here we are. We have the paperwork. We owned it. And, of course, at that time, the officials were not very happy with me, because they didn't want people to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They were keeping us out of our own property is basically what they were doing. So, we kept trying to talk to people and trying to tell people that it was ours and we needed to go and take it back, because they had no right to hold water from us because it was ours.
If it's yours, then that means that the federal authorities were trespassing on private property.
Correct.
I mean, that's like saying, okay, well, let's say that Joe Blow farmer out here in Kansas or Iowa has a 100-acre farm with a creek running through it, and his creek gives him water for his livestock and his livelihood, and that means that's sort of like the federal government coming in there and going onto his property, diverting the water from the creek and saying, this is ours, it's our land, it's our water, and you can't do anything about it. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to.
It did come down to that, but in our research, we found much, much more. And this is what happens, and this is what's happening. It's probably happening all over the country that people don't realize. And any time that the federal government is involved in giving you money, you better be prepared, because mm-hmm. they will do what they want with you when they're done with what they're needing to do. Mm-hmm. And what they did was the federal government, the Bureau of Reclamation, came in, and they have a contract with the water users.
Mm-hmm.
So they're running the water. Not that they own the land, they're just, they have a contract. And their contract states that they have a right to do these things if they feel that they're threatened or, you know, they need to take control, they can do that.
It sounds to me to be the same methodology they used against the American Indians. You know, they would sign a treaty and say, okay, well, this is yours and yours, and you got this right and you got all that, and everything's fine. And then when they decide that they want something else, they say, well, we're going to revise this treaty, and now we want this and this and this.
Exactly.
And then they revise it again. They keep changing the rule, you know, changing the line in the sand, as they say. And as a result, this thing came to a head in 2000 and 2001. I want us to move along here, because we will. You'll be surprised how quickly the time will go here. When did you start organizing, once you found this information of the ownership of the Klamath Headgate and the dam and the water, when did the organization for this rally that occurred in August of 2001, when did that whole big thing, the Bucket Brigade, people sent gallons of water from all over the Northwest, I mean, the whole thing, when did that whole thing get started, and who was behind that?
Well, there was initially seven of us that started, and a lot of people told us that we were crazy and that we needed to go away. We even had our district attorney come and talk to us and try to get us to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept thinking that we needed to move forward, and as long as we were doing things legally and not harming anybody in any way, that we needed to go forward. And I truly believe that God, you know, God was with us and told us we need to do this, because if we don't stand up, we're going to have our rights taken away from us. We will be, they'll be telling us when we were going to have water.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not only doing it to us, the little Klamath Falls, it's all over the country.
Right. Well, we're using this as sort of like an example, because the Sustainable Development Program that is going on nationally is going on just like it happened up in Klamath Falls.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening, but, you know, it's happening over here, all over the country, and there's local issues going on here, but they're not getting national attention. If people put the puzzle pieces together, they'll see the big picture. Now you organized this whole thing, and they had a big march, a parade, a rally, the whole thing, and that was what? I think it was August 23rd or 24th of 2001. And
yeah,
then everybody went to the Headgate, because they shut off the water. I was looking at 5:20 a.m., I believe it was on the 23rd, they shut off the water.
I will tell you, Dave, I was not involved in, I mean, I helped with the Bucket Brigade, but I wasn't the official people that started that.
Okay.
There was another group in the Klamath Basin that kind of started that, and they were the group that wanted to be up and above, and they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to do anything to harm anything. They just wanted to get the national attention, which worked wonderful, because we did get national attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we did help with that. But those were the same people that told us, do not go down there and do not do those things, because, you know, it'll be bad. It'll just be bad. And so what we did was we said, okay, we'll help you do your thing. We had to, you know, we tried to stick together, and we'll help you do whatever you need to do. And then when it comes down to doing what we need to do, we will have to do it. And if you're there, you're there. And if you're not, well, we'll be there by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
Okay. Well, there were an awful lot of very emotional, heartfelt stories, personal stories. Farmers, like I said in the introduction, had lost their land, they'd lost their families, they'd lost their businesses, and in some cases actually lost their lives because the water had been shut off and the stress was so great. One guy, I think, died of a heart attack or something like that.
Yeah, we had several deaths here in the Klamath Basin during that time. And it was totally related to the water issue, because, I mean, you know, you think of yourself living in your own home, wherever you live,
mm-hmm.
and this is why I did what I did. And you have somebody that says, okay, we're shutting off the water, so you now no longer get any water. And I'm not talking about just farming land. I'm talking about water for your homes to drink. Because once they shut down the aquifers, the water shut off, shut the aquifers down, there is no well water.
No kidding. I tell you what, hold on to that. We got to take our commercial break. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Our special guest is Barbara Martin up there in Klamath Falls, giving us an update of the water issue. Stay with us.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here, and I'm very excited to announce the release of my bombshell documentary film, 911, The Road to Tyranny, on DVD. That's right folks, DVD. The original film was 144 minutes long. The DVD version is 170 minutes. If you want to wake up your friends and families to the truth of what happened on September 11th, this is the film for you. The Road to Tyranny is already sending shockwaves through Washington and across the United States. You absolutely must see this DVD. It covers the history of government-sponsored terrorism, the police state and homeland security, the nightmare UN population control programs, the cashless society control grid, satellite tracking, implantable microchips, and much, much more. Bottom line, this film is waking people up. Order your copy on VHS or DVD today and man the guns of the InfoWar. Order right now by calling 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. Again, that number, 888-253-3139.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Why do you wear watches? The answer is no longer simply to tell time. At DiscountWatchStore.com, watches are as much about telling time as they are about making a fashion statement or showing off one's success. Watches also make for great heirlooms to pass on for generations to come. As an authorized dealer of many fine watches, DiscountWatchStore.com offers fine timepieces that have been sought after by many for over 160 years. Choose from over 450 styles with discounts up to 70% off retail prices. With Mother's Day and Father's Day right around the corner, now is a perfect time to get them the watch they've always wanted. Visit DiscountWatchStore.com/radio today to get an extra 5% off our already low, low prices. Free shipping and secure transaction is standard with every order. So visit DiscountWatchStore.com/radio today. That is DiscountWatchStore.com/radio. Or call toll-free 866-371-2330. That's 866-371-2330.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit CalbenPureSoap.com.
We're not gonna take it. That's what the farmers and ranchers said. So people all over the country are screaming. We're not gonna take it. And hopefully you too will stand up and we're not gonna take it. Get involved. Be the first one on the dance floor. Don't be afraid, folks. If your name isn't on a list that you're afraid of, well, then you ain't doing enough, folks. Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Power Hour. Our special guest today is a woman who set the example and basically was the trailblazer for the research that proved that the ownership of the Klamath Head Gate and the water was truly the farmers and ranchers. That's who owned it, and the Fed said no and basically took it over. Now, when the rally was occurring, and we're going to have to move because there's so much to cover in the short period of time we have, Barbara. Now, when there were basically two groups. One group was saying, hey, let's have this march and this rally and leave the head gate alone. And there was another group that's saying, hey, to heck with that. The head gate is where the water is. We want our water. It's our land. We've proven it. I want to go over there and turn the water on. And that's basically the conflict that was going on. Is that correct?
That is right.
Okay. So what happened? There was a little bit of a division there. So what happened the day that they were going to go to the head gates?
Well, a few of us got together and said, we're meeting down there and we're going to open the head gates. It belongs to us and we need to take it back. So we went, and there was a bunch of people that showed up, and mm-hmm. seven of us actually went over.
Right. Well, we got the whole thing on videotape. As a matter of fact, you can see the videotape of the crossing at the head gate. If you go to thepowerhour.com, folks, go to thepowerhour.com, scroll to the bottom of the main page, and you'll see the Power Hour News Service. And inside that box, you just see right there, it'll say May 2005, and there's a stuff there about Klamath. Click there, it'll show you two video clips. You got to see them. Okay, go ahead, Barbara. I'm sorry.
The day you're talking about was a different day. We had opened the head gates, and the federal marshals came and shut it down. The day that we actually went over, I think, is the day you're talking about. We rallied the people all together. We gave them with proof that we owned the head gates. And, of course, we couldn't tear down the fences or anything. We were talking to an attorney, and he was telling us what we could and couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And we built a gate and went over. We all just crossed over the gate that day, and it was a wonderful day. It was absolutely, I mean, you just felt like we were doing what we needed to do, and it was right. And the federal marshals were on the other side of the gate, and we moved them back.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in, and it was a great day. It was absolutely a great day because we were doing what was right. We were taking back what belonged to us, basically, that day.
That's right.
It was a day I will never forget in my entire life.
And I won't either, because I'd never seen such an outpouring of spirit. And basically what they did is that they had a chain link fence with barbed wire across the top, and there was a gate that had a chain around it with a padlock. And what they did is they took a couple of pallets, the wooden pallets that people put, shipping stuff on, and they leaned one up on one side and then threw the other one on the other side and leaned it up and sort of used it as a ladder. And then they actually got a ladder, and then once so many people got across and the sheriff came and crossed the line, they opened up the gate, took the padlock off, and let everybody in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was just a thrill. That was indeed a thrill. Now, let's, again, fast forward a little bit. After the head gate was crossed, and after the media, and there was a flood of media attention, all the networks were there, the cameras everywhere, radio people, I was there, and then after the whole thing was over and everybody went home, what happened in the inside? Oh, I almost forgot. They slapped a gag order on you, too, didn't they?
Yes, I got served a restraining order at my house that I no longer could go on the head gates.
Yeah, they were afraid of this little woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I've met Barbara, and I've hugged her neck, as a matter of fact, her and Carmen. And we're just talking about a little woman. They were scared to death of this woman speaking out.
And so I was doing, Dave, was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Your right of free speech was violated, and they slapped you with a gag order, and all of a sudden you had all these expenses. Oh, and by the way, I wanted, again, to thank the Power Hour listeners, because when she had all of these legal expenses out there, we were able to raise up some money and send it to her to help her cover the expenses. And I wanted to ask you, was anybody else, any other organizations, patriot organizations or groups that got together and helped donate money for your legal efforts?
No.
No, I mean, not even the John Birch Society?
No. I got from you, your listeners and your radio station,
uh-huh.
And I got funds from another little group that was started in the beginning, that we decided that it was time to make a change. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And my attorney, by the way, worked free.
Wow.
He worked, the only thing he charged me for was the legal paperwork. It would have probably cost probably $20,000-$25,000,
mm-hmm.
because they drug it on as long as they possibly could, trying to get me to succumb to what they wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, it doesn't matter. I have to stand up for what is right,
mm-hmm.
and what is right is it's ours, and I will stand in front of the judge. I will go to court, and I will tell the truth.
Well, bless
your heart. 'Cause the truth will set you free.
That's right. You either stand in the light or you hide in the darkness.
That's
and again,
right.
I thank the Power Hour listeners because with your support and, you know, keeping us on the air and you know, buying the products we advertise, the way it works here, we were able to donate a $1,000 check to help to defray her costs. And, hey, you didn't hear the New American sending anything, did you? Stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a 1-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
All water isn't the same. Scientific research in the past 2 decades which studied water has produced some startling new information. Water is not just some simple liquid that we happen to drink. Because our body is composed of 75% water, drinking energized water adds pure light frequency that can help cleanse and help alleviate most health problems. AquaNorthwest.com carries a full line of products that will increase the water's energy by creating a positive spin and revitalizing water in a higher vibration state. For example, AquaNorthwest.com offers an energy gel mug. Simply place any liquid in the energy gel mug and in just minutes your water is positively charged and ready to enter your body in the most impressionable state. You've all heard about products that energize your water. Don't be fooled by imitators. Visit AquaNorthwest.com and learn more about the benefits of positively charged energy water. Call 888-7-AQUA-NW. That's 888-727-8269 or visit AquaNorthwest.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday morning edition of the Power Hour, 34 minutes past the hour, whatever hour you're sitting in. This is Dave and Joyce. We're talking with a very special, brave woman who has set the pace and, again, is the epitome of the very reason that we scream, guys, get the lace off your panties. This woman is an American hero. She's a treasure because she represents the true American spirit and what every American should be doing. It is not your right. It is your duty to stand up against tyranny and government, and that's what she did. Now, as a result of this little wisp of a woman going off and doing the research and finding out that the true ownership of the Klamath Headgates belonged to the farmers and the ranchers, and she started making copies of the documents, spreading them all over the place. Well, the judge didn't like that and blasted her and hit her with a restraining order. Now, because of her expenses and the time that she had spent, we here at the Power Hour had donated $1,000 to help her with her expenses. And no, we're not Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, or, you know, huge funds. I mean, $1,000 is a good piece of change for us, and hopefully it helped her out in some way. Now, tell us what happened when the judge came back. I guess it was in February. How was this gag order thing resolved?
Well, basically what they did was they came in there and they kept asking me if I wanted to do some kind of a plea and drop everything. And I said, no, I need to go in front of the judge and I need to tell the judge the truth. And so they finally talked to my attorney and they kept saying, you know, we just need to resolve this. We need to resolve this. And my attorney said, well, we can't resolve it because she wants to see the judge. And so I was determined to go in front of the judge.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in front of the judge and the judge, I said, I showed him the papers and I said, I want to put this in that, you know, we own the Headgates. I don't know why they could give me a restraining order. And the judge says, we know you own it now. What will it make you, what will it take to have you go away? This was in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And my attorney said, well, he said, you know, I'm going to talk to my client and find out what are you proposing? And so they told us that they would drop everything if they would give me an apology, and they would apologize for everything that they did, and I could not talk to the media. That was their only stipulation, that they wanted me to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so my attorney said, well, at this point, you know, where we were at and everything, he said all they were doing was basically costing us money. We weren't getting anywhere, even though I did finally get to go in front of the judge. But that was about it. They did apologize.
So they
gave me an official apology, which I was not allowed to talk with the media.
Well, they accomplished what they wanted to do, what they set
absolutely
out to do.
They did.
They wanted to shut you down at
and
the critical time.
They did.
Right. They shut you down at the critical time, and then once the winter set in and everybody had gone home, they said, well, we're sorry. I guess we were wrong about it. But the damage was done, folks. Now,
yes, it was.
Now let's fast forward. Here it is, 2005. We have farmers that have left their land because they can't keep up this fight anymore. We have some of the ranchers and farmers that have actually been paid off. The government is giving them money to not grow crops. And we covered a story about that. Remember the story last week, folks, about not growing hogs and how the government pays people to not raise livestock? How do I go into the business of not raising hogs? So anyway, the point is now is that these guys... some guys have lost their farms, their ranches, etc., etc. And today, what is the Headgate? What is the condition of the Headgate?
Well, the condition of the Headgates, we didn't have any money to do any work on the Headgates for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And so as of today, the federal government has spent over $20 million to put sensors in the ground. To build buildings there,
whoa, slow down now. $20 million, but this isn't to improve the Headgate or make it a better functioning Headgate. They didn't redo the dam there or redo the pumps or the gates themselves. They spent the money again. Would you go through it? They put up nice, shiny new fences and barbed wire. Correct.
They have, and
okay.
There's sensors in the ground.
Sensors in the ground. Okay.
So if you walk on that property, they know immediately, and they have cameras, sensors, and they're going to protect it. And now all the water, I don't know if you know this, but all the water, like the dams and things,
mm-hmm.
in the United States is protected now under the measure when 9/11 hit. So now the government has a right to go in and take over any waterway.
Yep,
any waterway and control it.
They set the precedence. They set
under that law.
And again, folks, we're talking about an area of land that, in my estimation, correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but this is about the size of half of a football field. Is that right?
You're correct.
Okay, so we're talking about a small area. They spent $20 million taxpayer dollars to establish a fortress, if you will.
That's what it is.
To prevent the owners of that land from going on their land.
Now, if I wanted to go down there, because it is my land, because I own land on that water, if I went down there and walked on that property, I would be arrested. I would be in federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
I would be in federal prison right now.
Wow. All right. Now, let me get up to one of the other points here. Now, of course, one of the concerns when this whole thing went down, as we discussed earlier, there were two groups. One group wanted to be able to, of course, do the bucket brigade and have the rally and the march and the presentation of that huge bucket that they constructed on the city hall. And basically, that was the focus of what they wanted to do. The
right.
other group says, yeah, that's all well and good. We got the national attention. But doggone it, our lives are on the line. Our livelihoods are on the line. You know, we can put buckets on City Hall all day long. It's not going to get us our water. We want to go and get our water. And so there was a concern that that there might be some sort of a conflict. And of course, one of the reasons that I had gone up there was not only to catch this historic event, but also to videotape. And again, I've got about 7 hours, 8 hours, thereabouts, of videotape of the events. One of the reasons to be there was to catch any provocateurs that might be in the process of doing their jobs. Now, in the current issue of the New American Magazine, I would like to indulge you, Barbara, and also the listeners, into the article on page 26 by William Jasper. And I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm just going to thumbnail sketch the last couple of paragraphs here. In August 2001, many of the farmers and ranchers had agreed that, with or without the help of the local sheriff, they would go en masse to open the headgates so that water could get to their parched farms. News crews from around the country were camped out at the headgates in anticipation of the confrontation. However, on the morning of August 22nd, the confrontation didn't materialize. The leaders of the event decided that the dangers were too great, that the incident would turn violent, and that they would be presented again in the media as radical extremists. Reporters and camera crews waited impatiently, but the farmers didn't come. Silence. Nothing. Until, that is, a radical, quote, farmer, unquote, appeared on the scene to provide a show. Dave Von Kleist, who was in Klamath Falls as a reporter for Alex Jones' internet broadcast program, strode up to the fence a few yards from where federal agents were standing and unleashed a tirade. Dressed in jeans, a work shirt, and a cowboy hat, Von Kleist presented the image the media wanted. As he yelled at the federal agents and denounced their actions as tyranny, the television news cameras swung into action. That was the image that the media and the federal agencies who were holding the farmers' water hostage wanted, but not the image that the farmers had intended. Locals on the scene wondered aloud if Von Kleist was one of those who had been sent in there as an agent provocateur to discredit them, or if he was merely a grandstander boosting his own ego. This reporter, who was there watching the whole drama, wondered the same thing. Mr. Von Kleist's activities and wild disinformation concerning the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 have raised the question once again. Barbara, would you say that that is an accurate description of my activities at the Klamath headgates?
I'm telling you, whoever wrote that article, I would say was never there.
Oh, well, he was there. I met the man. His name is William F. Jasper. He's the writer, one of the writers for the New American Magazine. In fact, I had a nice conversation with him for about, maybe 45 minutes to an hour.
Well,
he was there.
If he was there, he didn't see what was really happening, because that was not what happened.
So you would say by reporting this, he was either concocting the story or he's just flat out lying, correct?
I would say that it is not the truth of what I saw, and I was there 24/7.
Okay, so
I lived there.
So this is indeed an inaccuracy.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I never once heard you or say. I mean, that just was in an. It was not right.
And also, I remember when I was able to meet with you in the trailer that they'd set up there, I guess 3 weeks before the crossing, they brought a trailer down there. I met Joe Barr down there. Joe Barr. And actually, when I approached you and Carmen, you guys, of course, had been slandered in the media. You'd been twisted and represented as extremist, wacko, nutcase, all that kind of stuff. And you were very wary of anybody with any media coming to discuss things with you, were you not?
Yes, because every time we would talk to somebody, they would come out and say that we were vigilantes, that we were trying mm-hmm. to do things that we weren't trying to do. So we stopped talking.
Barbara, who was more sensitive on that particular issue, you or Carmen?
I would say Carmen was.
Okay, and so when I met you and Carmen, let me ask you, when we did sit down and do the interview, first of all, how many interviews did you and or Carmen grant to, quote-unquote, the media, myself included?
I would say probably less than, less than five.
Less than five.
Carmen did one, which was yours.
Carmen?
You were the only person she talked to. Only.
Okay. Carmen was, Carmen granted an interview with me and with nobody else.
Correct.
And what, how did you or Carmen come away with your impression? I mean, I'm flattered that that Carmen would only give me the interview, but the impression that you got about our intentions here were what?
Well, everything that you were writing and you were talking about was the truth, and so we watched what we said to anybody, and then we watched what was written, and then when we heard what people were saying and what was written. That was being said, it was being said the truth that you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had spoken with Carmen, and Carmen had told me she didn't want to do any interviews. She didn't want to talk to anybody. And I talked to her about you, and I said, well, just go talk with him. If it doesn't feel right, don't talk. And she felt very comfortable, and she, because we wanted to get the truth out there, and we wanted people to know the truth. But if you talk to people that don't write the truth, you stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple as that. And I think we talked with you that day probably more than we talked with anybody, because we did know that you were going to tell the truth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And let me ask you, do you remember at any time granting an interview with William Jasper from the New American magazine?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so he didn't even talk to you guys.
I believe he was a heavyset man. I think I know who you're talking about now.
No, I don't think so. No, we're probably talking about somebody else. But obviously,
okay.
If you didn't meet him, you wouldn't know. So,
no.
Trying to put a face
to
the voice.
I heard the name, but there was so many people there that probably not.
Okay, so A, he didn't talk to you. B, he's written an article here, and by the way, the headline of the article is Von Kleist, reporter or provocateur, and they put this article in another area with all about agents provocateurs, with Islamic extremists, Robert Miller from the Elohim City, Oklahoma City bombing. They're trying to lump me in with all this other stuff. So your assessment number one is that Mr. Jasper is either fabricating or lying about this particular issue. Number two, he never even spoke to you guys. And number three, as far as any possible help that you'd received from the New American magazine, that basically is non-existent. Are those three statements correct?
Those are all correct.
Just amazing.
They had people that came from all over the world that wanted to talk to everybody. And of course, we were really worried about talking because of what was really coming out after we did talk. And they would tell the story the way they wanted to tell it. I physically got into a confrontation with one media person that was at the head gates, and we wound up pushing each other because I confronted them when they would tell lies. I confronted them. If they were there and they said something and it wasn't right, I confronted them.
Good for you. Who did you find, if you don't mind, that was twisting the truth? Do you mind telling me?
There was several stories. The media, the bigger media, like ABC, NBC, all those medias were there. They put a spin on it. We needed the attention, though. So it was like, okay, they put a spin on it, and they weren't really telling exactly what was going on, but they mm-hmm. would tell parts of it.
Right.
The articles that had been written about us, when I would read an article, I would just laugh. And our local news media was just absolutely horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Your local news media was horrifying?
Oh, it was just absolutely appalling. I was a terrorist. They called me a terrorist.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I tell you what.
Incredible.
We're only about 2 minutes away from a commercial break, and we have one caller that's been patiently handing. Who do we have there,
Ron,
Joyce?
In Arkansas. Ron, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Everybody be brief. Our time is short. Go ahead, please, Ron.
Well, much appreciation for your guest. I live right on the edge of another federal intrusion down here in north central Arkansas, the Buffalo National River. They used the eminent domain to steal 134 miles of prime bottomland river,
wow.
Kick off second and third generation family farmers, and put an end, of course, to one of the main industries here, logging and farming.
So this is how they do
that.
It. They're doing it all over the country, and yes, you get local news coverage when people have a rally, but it doesn't go national. They don't tell, because if everybody around the country in August of 2001 had seen what was going on in Klamath Falls, they'd recognize that the same doggone thing
is
going on in Arkansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, and people
and
would rally.
What? They don't have a Barbara Martin. They don't all have a Barbara Martin that will take the time and do what she did, and
this
that's the problem.
This is the classic example of the old saying in the Middle East, if you let the camel get his nose in the tent, soon you'll have the entire camel in your tent.
Right.
That's what's happening. It's happening. And if people don't stand up, it's going to happen a lot quicker than we think.
Right. So, Ron, thank you for the call, for bringing that attention to what's going on with that river basin.
Wow. Again, you know, Barbara, it would be so neat if you would write a letter to William Jasper and say, excuse me, I think you have this thing all wrong. I mean, you're the only one that was really in charge there that could do that and say, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but I was in charge of that on the citizen side, and we saw nothing like that.
As a matter of fact,
these people have to be stopped for what they're doing.
I'll tell you what, on this commercial break, Barbara, I want to get your fax number. I will fax you a copy of this article, and then I'll let you address if you choose to do so. I'm not telling you to do.
I
do whatever you think
is
right.
Like I said, if you don't tell people what they're doing wrong, they will never correct themselves.
I mean, people are saying, well, Dave, why are you going after the JBS? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the JBS is a very powerful, well, not very, but they're a pretty powerful organization, and they are flat out deceiving their membership and the people that read their magazine.
That's
because
right.
They're lying. They're flat-out lying.
It's fraud.
It is fraud, and the people need to be alerted to this. Anyway, we got a break coming in less than a minute, but see if we can squeeze John in New York. John, thank you for holding. Go ahead quickly, please.
Hi. You guys are really tripping on yourself this morning. When you had the federal government and the judge saying, oh, we want to get you off our back, number one, the federal government, if you get hit by the IRS or big penalties and fines and all that, you gave money to Mary or Martin. And, hey, someone should have been responsible for all that money and all the money spent by the federal government. Who was responsible for that should have kicked back and been, who put the fence up? You know, there's cost.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, hold on, you're right. We got our final break, 3 minutes. We'll all be right back. Stay there.
This is Joyce Riley, and most of you know I've searched for over 5 years to find something to help the vets. Well, I've found something that will help everybody. Miracle Tooth soap, neutralizer, gel, and skin moisturizer have prompted testimonies from people all over the country. Around the house, it's gentle enough to wash your hair, strong enough for your toughest jobs. In the garden, it controls pests and can increase your yield 200%. We've all heard news stories about products that cause cancer, birth defects, or other health problems. Well, many people who have used Miracle 2 products have stated that they have literally washed their problems away. The folks from Miracle 2 don't have to make these claims. Their customers do it for them. Try Miracle 2, and you just might find yourself working miracles in your home. Call the Power Hour order line, 877-485-3838. Place your order today and start having miracles in your life. Call 877-485-3838. Miracle 2 isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Do you have $10, $20, $30,000 or more in credit card debt that's suffocating your bank account and your lifestyle? If you think bankruptcy is the only way out, then pay close attention, because relief is on the way. Debt Relief USA at 800-509-3201 will negotiate with your creditors and settle your credit card debt for about half of what you now owe without filing bankruptcy. Debt Relief USA has been helping people just like you regain control of their financial future. In most cases, you can be debt-free in less than 36 months.
I owed so much of my credit cards, I could barely make the minimum monthly payment. We talked about filing bankruptcy, but I was concerned about my credit. That's when I called Debt Relief USA. They set up a plan for me where I could settle for just 40% of what I owed. I'm back in control of my life, and I owe it all to Debt Relief USA.
Call Debt Relief USA today for your free consultation. 800-509-3201. Pay your creditors and avoid bankruptcy. Call now. 800-509-3201. 800-509-3201.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now, 1-877- 1-928-8822. Cartavite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cartavite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cartavite.
Hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
That's what we deserve, folks.
I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth.
And since when has it become an act of heroism to just tell the truth? Well, because it, you know, in a, what is it that Orwell said in revolution? There will come a time when telling the truth is a revolutionary act. That's mm-hmm. where we're at, folks. Mm-hmm.
That's
welcome,
right.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's installment of the Power Hour. And again, our special guest is an American heroine, Barbara Martin, who was instrumental in helping to form the efforts that occurred in late August of 2001, when so many people actually stood up to the federal authorities and said, not no, but heck no. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the war of attrition is one that we just can't win. And that's so the headgates now have $20 million worth of equipment, new chain link fence, barbed wire, sensors in the ground, $20 million of the taxpayer money to fortify a fortress that belongs to the taxpayers.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Okay, very quickly, John, you got 30 more seconds to wrap it up.
Just a farmer in New York. The people downtown have been trying to put me out of business for a long time and have had comments such as, they haven't gotten you out of there yet, and the theys are the people in the bank control and that kind of item. And I'm just saying they're part of the world order. There's a deal made to where the upper clique of the communities are helping to steal your land for you.
Mm-hmm. He's correct.
Thank you very much.
John, thank you for the call. Barbara, in our closing moments, is there anything that the listeners can do, for the farmers and ranchers up there in Klamath, or is this just a done deal? Is it a dead issue? I mean, what can we do? How can we support them?
Well, we all have to stand up to the government, and we have to tell them, no, these farmers are supplying food to our country. We're eating the food that they're out there in those grounds. If they cut off our food source and our water, we're pretty much under their thumb. And we have to stand up and say no. And if enough of us stand up together, they cannot take us down. But let me tell you, if a few of us stand up, we'll go down. And
well,
stand up and do what is right. That is what I would say to everybody. Do what is right. Get organized, get people together, and start telling them no. And it seems to be a terrible thing to have to stand up to your own country. But if that's what it comes down to, we have to stand up and do what's right.
It's not our right to do so. It is our duty to do so.
You're correct.
As painful as it might be, and as difficult as it might be, it's difficult to do the right thing. You know what they say? What is the saying? It's dangerous to be right when your government is wrong. And
correct.
That's exactly
oh,
where we are.
Wow.
That is so correct. Again, Barbara, thank you so much.
Yes.
And I will be getting
Barbara and her partner in this.
And Carmen also.
Yes.
And also my condolences for your late husband and for you. I'm sorry to hear that you lost your husband, Bill, but I'm sure God has a bigger plan that we can possibly understand.
Thank you.
And again, Barbara, thank you so much. And I'll be in touch with you. I thank you for your support and coming on the program and basically just telling it like it is, because that's what it's all about.
That's right.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Barbara, I will be in touch with you. Thank you
we
so much.
We cannot forget these issues.
No, we
because
can't.
They will rear their ugly head again, and we need to support these people. And Barbara, man, she stood up, and Carmen stood up like nobody I have seen before.
That's
I mean,
right.
These are feisty women who love their country. And how many guys would have done the same thing?
Exactly.
And yet you've got a guy, William Jasper, who is so willing to take pot shots at them and to not report correctly what took place there.
Mm-hmm.
What? How disgusting.
It is.
How disgusting.
It is.
Listeners, write your letters to the John Birch Society.
That's
please
right.
Write them and let them know that they don't have, just because they've got a magazine and that they can use their magazine as a weapon, it's not going to work.
The address for the New American Magazine is New American Post Office Box 8040, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912. That said, folks, you can also email them at thenewamerican.com and let them know that they should go and crawl back under the rock that they came from for coming out and flat out lying.
Well, I think it ought to be worse than that for misleading all these people.
Time to stand up, stretch those legs, take a deep breath, and scream from the top of your lungs and the bottom of your souls. We will not stop. God bless you all.
Do not miss tomorrow's program.
Are you paying?